Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's 6:30 on the 20th of April 2026, and I'm looking up at the sky, and it is blue, which is good in one hand. It means we're having a sunny day. Bad in another hand, it didn't rain in the night, and we've been away from the land for a couple of days doing events, and we will have to take as much water as we can carry in the van to go and water our plants, as there's no running water up on the land, and we have yet to finish off the water collecting, what would you call it, excuse me, devices, I suppose, rooftops with gutters and things. And it hasn't rained anyway, so that won't have made a blind bit of difference, but our pond is evaporating like mad. The other day Julia found a frog actually up on the land, and a great big thing, and she let it go into the pond and it loved it. It was swimming around. I hope it's all right. I'm sure there's still some water in there. It won't have completely gone, but when we've been away for 2 days we will need to water like mad in the morning. As our friend Mark Byford said about watering in the evening, he said just be a bit careful about watering in the evening, because if the following day is a frost, and I don't know whether we've seen the last of the frosts, that can, watering at the day, you can still have water on the roots, and of course if it goes frosty it can kill the plants. So that was a good little tip to think about. So we definitely need to water them first thing. And that's one of the jobs that we will do as soon as we get up there today. We may well, now we've got the caravan, stay over from tomorrow. We won't be able to do it today. I've got to get back to do some couple of things. But tomorrow, Tuesday, might be a time to stay one or two nights, which will make the diesel costs and the journey to and fro the land, well, unnecessary. And that will be a saving. I'm very pleased to do that. Over this weekend, we were away. We were at Hope Sussex on Saturday in East Sussex. And it was a talk that both Julia and I gave. Went very well, about our purchasing of the land, how we've got on, and then about Biggleswick Book. And we sold a few books there and I signed them. And then yesterday we were in Forest Row in East Sussex, and there we were. I was a master of ceremonies, bringing different speakers on at a sort of truth symposium, I suppose, about a lot of it about farming and land and soil, but also other topics that you normally get at these sort of events, to educate people on various bits and pieces and introduce the various organisations, projects and individual projects, I suppose, that people had been up to, or businesses that people have started that were a lot more, I don't like the word eco-friendly, I don't like that term, it's sort of a trendy, horrible term, but and it sort of implies wokeness. Anyway, those sort of alternative therapies and alternative businesses that use less energy and, I don't know, you know, all that kind of malarkey. Anyway, point is, it went very well, and I sold a lot more books there as well. So that was nice. It was nice to be able to do something a little different from the land. But we've missed it and can't wait to get back. And so I'm sitting on my sofa having a cup of coffee this morning at 6:30, just thinking about the bits and pieces I need. I need to buy a couple more items for our cattery that I'm building, so that Julia can take her cats up to the land, but so that they don't roam and get lost, particularly her elderly cats. We're making, basically, it's a chicken run, really, but for cats. Of course, cats are wily things. They can climb, not so much at the digging, fortunately. These are docile cats anyway. We bought some bits the other day when we were up there, and I realised I just needed one more, a couple of bits of wood and another sheet of this corrugated PVC plastic see-through stuff for the little roof so that they can have light. And then we just need to have some sort of boxes or something that they can sleep in if they so wish. And anyway, it's work in progress, and hopefully I'll finish it today and get back to the other main task other than watering, and that is the polytunnel. So I need to go and get some coach bolts, because it's quite big, and we're making it from, again, from the available trees, the spruce trees that are coming down, because they're just too big and they're taking up too much space, and they should have been harvested years ago. So and we want the space for growing some crops, things like some heritage wheat or some barley and various things. So not massive swathes of it, but just small amounts. I want to work out how many square meters you might need to make bread, not just one loaf, but you know, several loaves a year, and it's depending on the size of the bread, etc., and whether we could make our own flour and grind it and stuff once we've gotten the rest of the infrastructure done and we've got time to do it, and how you would harvest it and all those sort of things. It would be lovely to be able to be a bit self-contained, and then of course once you've milled it, turn it into it's turned into flour, and then make loaves of bread with it, with good quality heritage wheat that is not covered in any chemicals, other than what, of course, they're dropping from the sky, the chemtrails and things. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to get anything properly clean at the moment. Anyway, they obviously are laying off a little bit, because we keep getting these sunny days, and I think they're just trying to stop the rain. That's my theory. I've become very sceptical about everything. You know, we need some rain, and these people want to attack farming in this country, and so I reckon that's probably what's going on. We've had a lot of rain in the winter when it was not really required as much, and now we're having too much sunshine. That's my belief. I could be wrong, of course. It could be just coincidence. But when the governments deny that they're doing these things, you think, well, they have a problem telling the truth. So they probably are doing these things. Anyway, let's not worry too much about that. At the end of the day, we have to work within the parameters that we've got. And which is in many ways why I've shifted from the continual talking about what the problems are and more what the solutions are, and getting on with the solutions, like growing your own food. We know that there'll be a crisis in food. There is a crisis in food, whether it's one about it being on the shelves or not. The crisis in food is that people are buying chemically enhanced stuff that you can put into your gob and it's not good for your body from supermarkets. That's not actually food. People have been duped into thinking that supermarkets sell food. They don't. They sell packages of colourful chemicals with nutrients and vitamins not in them, and big lies on the front. So that is a problem. But of course, people go there and fill up their baskets with this pap. They don't know what food is. But I suppose whilst the great unwashed are doing that, it means those who are a little bit more educated and understand what is edible. At least there's plenty of that for the moment at the farm shops. If everybody suddenly went to the farm shops overnight, for example, there would be a problem. And I'm glad we, you know, in some ways, I suppose, I'm glad that people aren't doing it, if you see what I mean, until there was many, many more farms able to supply sufficient food. Or if the supermarkets would actually stop selling rubbish, fake food, and actually sell real food, then that would be better. Of course, they like to set the prices, and so that's, again, another reason why nobody really should be buying from supermarkets, because they are so profit-driven, and the people who are the farmers who are supplying the processing plants with the raw ingredients, which is, well, I was, you know, it's very difficult to say. Some of the farmers, I'm sure, absolutely wonderful, and some of them think that they're doing the best, but they're still using chemicals. Anyway, whatever it is, it is what it is. What else is going on at the moment? It was my daughter's birthday yesterday. She's had a lovely birthday, apparently. She's still in New Zealand, so I haven't seen her, but I have communicated. So that's all good. You know, she's been over there for some time now. And that's, you know, I miss her greatly. She's going to get married to her boyfriend, I think, next year. And there was a debate about whether it was going to happen in New Zealand or over here. I think it's going to happen over here. And she did say that she might get married, if permissible, on our land. And I thought that would be lovely, because we could really make that very nice for the family. So that's something to look forward to. And hopefully she'll see the land beforehand when she next flies over and comes to visit. I would go and visit her, although I don't like the long flights, but I don't have a passport. I don't think you'll get me in another aeroplane now. I used to like flying. There's something about being in a tube that flies over the sky. I know a lot of people say it's the safest form of travelling. I personally just do not wish to be in that vulnerable situation. So I don't think I shall ever fly again. And the fact that I don't have a passport ensures that really I don't. So I just don't want to. I just don't want to. And I have no need, really, to go to distant places. I know the world is a fascinating place and there are some wonderful things to see. But I do like this land, and I like the land that we have purchased and that we are custodians of. And I have no real need to go anywhere else. And when you think back, apart from migrating people who would walk or travel on animals or in old wheeled carts, or potentially on boats across the seas and things, very few people moved about. Most people stayed in their villages and in their little towns for most of their lives. Sometimes I reflect that transport and travelling, as much as it opens one's eyes to different things in life, when I think that's a good thing, but at the same time, global travel has caused all sorts of problems, I think, because it's opened up globalisation and then the transport of food from across the world. It's a very difficult, it's a conundrum, I think, because with everybody moving about and the need for and people's desires for businesses and experiencing different cultures, we've kind of homogenized the world, and I think that's very sad, really, in some way. It's bad enough in the country, in your own country, when sort of, I don't know, 100 years ago, you'd travel around England, for example, England, Scotland, the isle that we call Britain, and the accents would be different. The foods in those different areas would be different. Of course, the geology is different, and the architecture, as a result, would have been different. Well, whilst the geology hasn't really changed, the architecture has been blanded down all over the place. And we see the uglification of England and Scotland with these mean buildings that they make, bland, small windows and what have you. And the regional accents have been watered down quite dramatically. And of course, people are eating foods that are never originated here. It's, you know, the same coffee all over the world now, and the same beef burgers all over the world now, and trying to find foodstuffs that came from one specific area, which made it pleasant to visit and unusual and a joy to discover other peoples. Now, everything's pretty much the same, and even seaside towns are losing their identity. And it was, you know, Worthing had a unique architecture feel about it, even 30 years ago. And now, I don't know, it could be anywhere apart from the fact there's a great wodge of sea nearby. So, it's, this globalization business is, in my view, is a pain. Anyway, I must get on. I thought I would not leave you too long. I'll try and keep the habit of recording as often as I can. Thank you for listening if you have. I'm hoping to film a video for my main channel today and more for the English couple for this weekend. So, as well as doing all the other bits and bobs that one's got to do. Anyway, thank you very much, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.